This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We exalt you. We magnify you, Father. We bless you. We thank you for this opportunity for to gather as a family, as a family and a household of faith. We bless you. We do not take it for granted, Lord. We ask that you will help us. You cause us to see you, Lord Jesus. Help us see you, Lord. Minister to us, Lord. Minister what you are saying. Minister your burden. Lord, you have a burden in your heart. Lord, please minister this burden to us. Let us see the vision of what you are saying concerning our homes. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I receive grace. I receive help. I receive utterance. I receive anointing. That, Lord, I will have utterance. I'll be anointed to minister. And have authority of life to speak your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, because I discern this house as a household of God, Love Seal Church. I discern the authority of the Lord Jesus and the man you have set. I discern this house as a house of God. And Lord, I come in my order, you know, for to supply. Lord, help me supply in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your angel that is here, your spirit that is here. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You see, when God's servant started talking about harvest, one thing that is clear is that there will be vehicle for the harvest to happen. You know, discipleship is actually, like I said, the wineskin of making. We need to be made. One of the things that has gone missing in our Christian faith is discipleship. When you hear SU movement, what made SU movement was his discipleship. If you see anybody that was part of SU movement, why they are solid is because they were discipled. The brand of Christianity that we have now is a brand that is not discipleship, nobody. It's a brand that you can get born again today and tomorrow you start a church. And that is why we have very light-weighted believers. Believers that do not carry substance. Power and miracle is not a witness that you are a disciple. I'm telling you, it is missing. I said, people don't understand that when you say you are a Christian, you are not only a Christian by a tag. You are a Christian by following. Go and check the Christians that are doing this thing. Go and check it now. Ask them, where did they start from? The people just come and hop church. People change churches. People are done online. People ask, I have people that have come to me, I want you to mentor me. How will I mentor you from afar? Yes, okay, mentor. How is this? If I even, I'm like, okay, how are we supposed to even do this mentorship program? Because there are many mentorship programs. But I find out that for some souls, they've just been able to settle, you know, for to be taught. Souls like to identify with what is reigning. So it's easy for me to see that, it be like, say, this pastor has charisma, has power. Please mentor me. Want to be mentored, but you can't follow the pastor. That is one thing that is missing. And I want to implore you to sign up for discipleship. If you are being a Christian and all what you do is that you come to church seated, you don't apply yourself. You know, you can say that, where church do you go to? I get a Love Seal Church. You know, you are parroting Love Seal Church, but the instructions of Love Seal House, are you keeping? The relationship of Love Seal House, are you keeping? You know, the tenets and the doctrine of faith, are you keeping? They will know us. The knowledge of a disciple is the fruit he bears. So I'm saying that the vehicle of harvest, you see, if you are talking about harvest, why harvest? We not harvest. It's because there are no disciples. Who are the people they will send to Afghanistan? Who are the people they will send to not? Is it people who are going to be singing and dancing? Is it a miracle that will do it? Yes, we have miracle signs. Yes, they are supposed to draw people. When the people are drawn, what becomes of them? Do you not make them worse off than where they were before?
How do they make them candidates of God's kingdom? Because the essence of the hands of God is that men will come to his face. We do not seek his hands. We seek his face, but his hands are supposed to draw men. The miracles, the signs are to draw men to him. But when men are drawn, what is the vehicle to make them to be like him? Heaven does not waste things. The reason why heaven will trickle down the issues of power is because there's no wineskin. So when disciples begin to arise, and we say that men are being made and raised up, we are going to see harvest. When you talk about harvest, one major wineskin is what? Discipleship. But however, the expression where we have harvest, the three kinds of harvest, harvest of the first fruits, harvest of the body of Christ, harvest of the world, where we will have that harvest is actually two major areas. The first one is the neighborhood discipleship, is actually one vehicle. The second vehicle is our home. Say homes and household.
Homes and household.
Now, the vision for homes and household began with the Godhead, even in the realm of the eternity, and it has its roots in the beginning. What did I say? The vision of homes and what? Household is what? From the very beginning. Because when you are looking at homes and households, God is the source of every family and home. Why was Eden made? They created heaven and earth. And the Bible says he planted a what? A garden. In the midst of the earth, the Lord planted. So Eden was a home. When you are talking about a man needs a home. I saw a video come up last night. I felt so bad. Homeless people in the U.S. Homeless, caught in drugs. Drugs has finished their life. I said, man was not made to be homeless. Man was not made to be without home. Even when God made man, he first planted a garden before placing man in the garden. God did not place man on earth like to be a roaming stray. He made a home for him. He made an habitation for him. This gives you an idea of what good God is. He just settles things so that there's another eye that we must have. When God says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, let him have dominion. He gave that instruction to man in Garden of Eden. He didn't give that instruction to man in earth. He gave that instruction in the constraint of our home called Eden. So if you are talking about making of image and likeness, you and you, we cannot look down on our homes. If we are talking about the vehicle of discipleship, your home is one area you can't look down on. We are discipled in our homes. They teach us how to eat. Some of your taste buds now from your house, you get that. The way you dress is from your house. The food you like, the culture, it is from your home. So you can say that the home is actually a discipler. Conscious or unconscious, we are all being discipled. And you know one thing that Jesus also said? He said, in my Father's house. He said, there are many what? Dwelling places. See, when he says my, that means God himself is a house. He said, in my Father's house. Which house? There's a house in God. In my Father's house. You see, when you know this, one of the things that Satan, you know, Satan is a vagabond. Satan left a home. And one thing I know he has sworn is that you and I will not have the blessing of a home. When Satan fights home, he's fighting home with somebody who has experienced it. Have you heard this thing that hell has no fury like a woman scorned? Satan has no fury like somebody who has been rendered homeless. Satan lost a home. He lost a family. He says, in my Father's house. So if the Lord is saying, my Father's house, he's saying that in me, God, I am a house. You see, the concept of thinking as heaven as home is very wrong. Heaven is not a home. Heaven is a transition. Yes, because the real home is in God. He said, in my Father's house. It just shows that God is a house. So he said, they bring home to you. They are bringing you to a place in there. So when Jesus was saying that, John chapter 14, he said, if anyone loves me and keep my word, my Father will love him and will come to him and make what? Our home. That means that they want a home in man. The reason for Genesis 1:26 was for man to be a home for them. He said, we'll make our home. The Omis making their home. They themselves, their home. Then they are making home in you. Here, he said, creation was brought from God in this same template. and with the intent of engraving mankind into the family of God. So the intent of integrating man into the home of God was actually an agenda. Have you seen those scripture we read? That it was actually what? An agenda. Psalm 90 verse 1 to 2. Lord, you've been our dwelling place, our refuge, our sanctuary, our stability in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or before you had given birth to the earth, even from everlasting and everlasting, you are the eternal God. This is our God. They've been our dwelling, they were a refuge. God is our safe place. God is our safe place. You know some people that you feel that you have you heard that word? I say this person is my safe place, or this is my safe place. Mm-mm. The real safe place, gang, where nobody can touch you. He said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that's a home, shall abide. That's a home under the shadow of the Almighty. And I shall say to my God, he is what? My refuge and what? So you can't just come to their home. It is a dwelling. There's a dwelling, and there's a manner of person that can come to that dwelling. You know, we quote that thing. When we are having spiritual attack, he would dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Shall abide. And it works for us. And it will work for us. Oh my journey. Because God is a home. So Jesus spoke about him and the Father making their home with us. And this is actually the promise of God to every man. So one of the things Satan succeeded to do to man is to take the home of man away. Because you see, to dwell in the home of God, there's a compatibility of the dwellers of that home. The reason why Adam and Eve were not compatible in Eden is simply because of this another estate they've occupied. Because there was a state they had. Your state determines your estate. Their state was not compatible with the estate of Eden. So Satan is a home breaker. Satan is a home snatcher. I always tell husband and wife, settle it in your mind that the only adversary you have in this marriage, you might have adversary of your own flesh, but your primary adversary is Satan. Please learn to face him. Face him. Because many times we face ourselves. Because it's not today that Satan has been breaking home. When you hear that he broke how many years of marriage, he did it in the beginning. He did it to your father. He broke that home. How did he do it? What Satan was after was not only their state. He was after that place, Ganga. Because he knows that their state changed, they will not be compatible. And that's why they had to say, ow, they had to take them out. It was God's mercy to usher Adam and Eve out of Eden. It was mercy. It was mercy because the state was not compatible. Anytime state and estate are not compatible, what you will have is destruction. So Satan is a master pusher of homes, breaker of homes. So he took that home from man. He took home from man. No? Satan took home from us. And that home, you know, Eden was not only a physical essence. Eden was spiritual. You see, that home was the home that makes you have separation in your heart with God. When you became born again, you became baptized with the Holy Ghost. When you are having communion with the Lord, don't you have a sense of closeness to the Lord? That's home. That's a feeling of home. If you have had that hard communion with the Lord and you just look at God is right now. It's so tangible. That's home, Ganga. You see, Satan made it so foreign to us. That's one thing. He made it so foreign. The thought of home, he made it so foreign to our very, very essence. It looks like something very esoteric. You know, that's when they talk about God. Our mind cannot even fathom it. Created Adam was not like that. Created Adam could relate to the voice of God. So Satan took home away and made home very far. Many times, have you been times when you felt that God was far from you? That is home. But God never made man to be far from him. Man was made for God to have what? An habitation. Isaiah 66, 1. Don't say, he said, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you built unto me? Where is the place of my rest? He said, all these things my hands have made. For all those things that my hand made and all those have been, said the Lord. But to what? To this what? Man will I look. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite and trembleth at my word. Know what Satan did? Satan is wicked. He made God homeless. God could not come to Eden because the souls could not accommodate God. You see, this was one of the things that got him mad about man. That imagine in the conversations beyond us, before heaven and earth, God was talking about wanting to abet man. I believe that God must have mentioned it to the angels. So he made man. It's only God that said it. Jesus in the days of his flesh. Luke 9:58. He said foxes have holes. The birds of the air have what? Nests. But the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Where they want to lay head is in you and I. The agenda has been to make home with us. Many of us, we have place for foxes. Have you seen foxes? He said, little foxes spoil the vine. And what foxes always do is hole. They will dig hole, make your life a mess. Foxes, if a fox comes into a farmland, hey, you will not get an harvest. Say, birds. Some of us, our life is full of birds. Demonic spirit. Some birds have nests. Some of our life, it has nests. Have you seen Jankari war of nests? They are laying eggs there. When you see a soul that is enmeshed in anger, generational bitterness, birds have laid eggs there. Ah, there's a way you must ensure that they don't nest on your head. Say, where is the place for the Son of Man? So the issue of the home is actually an agenda that God wants to do. So seeing and duplicating this beginning pattern is key to raising families and homes after God's hand. Jeremiah 3:14. He said, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you of a city, two of a family, and I'll bring you to what? Zion. Did you see that? That one restoration on the gift that God can give a man is to give him a family. You will now understand Isaiah 68:6. So one blessing a man gets is the blessing of family. Let's read Psalm 68:6. He said, he set the solitary where? In families. And he bringeth out those who are bound. See, when they say solitary, semicolon, the solitary there is not just that I like to be alone. When you like that state or estate, loneliness is actually an estate. The Bible says Adam was alone. That was an estate. Singlehood is an estate. He say, God set the solitaries in family. Semicolon. Who are the solitary? So anything that makes you feel like me personally, I like to be alone. You are in chains. He said, he bring out those who are bound with what? Chains. The definition of those who are in chains are those who are dry and rebellious. You see, anything that makes you anti-family or anti-hold, I'm telling you, is a state of dryness and rebellious. Because the soul of man was not made to be alone. Even God, in Adam's day, said it is not good for man to be alone. So all my sisters and my brothers, you know that thing that I say, I want to be alone. I want to be alone. Just so it is not good for man to be alone. God makes a home for the lonely. Did you see that? That the solution for a lonely person is to make a home. When you are in a place and you feel lonely, it's because you have not belonged to a home. You know, you can be among people and you are still alone. So you will know that the process of being part of a home is not just your availability. It's your application of yourself. Have you not heard of people who say, I feel I'm alone in this marriage? You've not heard that thing. As if I'm married to myself. But they sleep together. They eat the same food. But the heart is not dwelling there. He said he lists the prisoners. You see, that is why I'm so sure that one thing Satan is propagating in this earth is that thing that makes you feel that you can take your decision. You can just take things and you have nobody to answer to. You see that thing that makes you feel that you are the Alpha and the Omega. You know things that say that I'm a self-made man. You see, this aloneness, not self. Satan has used it very well and he knows it. When you are caught up in works of the flesh, he said, one thing, Satan, let me tell you how you know. One of the things I know is that you hide yourself. He said, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. That you have done something you want to just hide to be alone. I'm just trying to let you know that it's evil. Things happen in your home. Husband and wife, it's because you have too many rooms. You know, one will take one room, take another room. You know, you see that thing. Satan knows how to bring it as a conversation for us. Friends or sisters are having issues. Don't talk to me. I just want to be, you know, those things. He's here. Oh, it's Mr. Self. And the propagator of Mr. Self is Mr. Satan. You are under prison. Can we equate it in our mind that anytime I desire to be alone, I'm a prisoner. I am rebellious. I am dry. In scripture, it's not me. So the issue of home is an issue that Satan contend with. My sisters and my brothers, Satan hates our home. Satan hates everything home starts for. Satan hates our children. He hates anything that brings people together to a family. Satan does not like association. Even you hear divide and rule. Somebody was saying he was teaching master business class. And, you know, the thing they were teaching was how to divide people and break people up so that, you know, the strategy. I said, this is devilish. This is satanic. And, you know, you know that this one, now adversary nature. You know, we must begin to understand Satan's nature. And, you know, things that will bring people together. When you always find that you are always the leftist, you are propagating the work of somebody who is anti-home, anti-hold. You see, some aunties and uncles that are cantankerous in our natural family, they are in a dry and rebellious land. They are in prison. Oh. You see, some of us, we need to just show them mercy. We are not supposed to be angry with them. What we are supposed to, just love them. Because actually, there's a dryness and they need love. So, both the Old Testament, the New Testament, trace men back to their families and back to their households. For example, we see that Numbers categorize men according to their family. The book of Numbers is a book of family. So, Numbers, nobody, did anybody draw from the sky? It's when you even say that my family, everybody is evil. But they still put you in that family. Even that family is a shongote door. You know, whatever name. You know, some people say, my family, they are evil. My family, they are satanic. You don't understand. Even our Lord Jesus was born. They captured the genealogy of our Lord Jesus. So, you see all those things. Nobody is a magical family. All of us have watched so many cartoons. Nobody dropped. You know those superheroes? You just see something just landed from alien. Bah! Even Superman was born. You came from a family. You say they can trace your lineage. You say the way they can trace your natural lineage, they can trace your spiritual lineage. Yes. So nobody is astray. Because God is family. And that's why harvest is not about you alone. Harvest is about the family of the whole earth. It's not only even about the family of God. You don't understand? So when God is looking at man, God is looking at everybody. He's looking at the whole world. Because God said, every soul is mine. The real owner of the soul of every man is God. Satan does not own a soul. Satan cannot create a soul. This lesson, we are only looking at households, not families. Now, example of Old Testament, the Passover household. We saw that when they were going to give them household, Exodus 12, you can just give us verse 3 to 4. They did not give each man the lamp. They didn't say, oh yeah, take your own. When they are thinking salvation, they are not thinking you. Many of us, our salvation is very selfish. Salvation, that it is only about me, you. That is not God. When they were going to show us the love of God, they said, for God so loved the whole world and gave his only begotten son. So when God was giving Jesus, he wasn't thinking of me and you. He wasn't thinking of Christians. He was thinking of the whole world. He says, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamp according to the house of their father. A lamp for what? So, when it comes to even salvation of Passover, na house, so, inyere house. So, when God is thinking about you, God was not thinking only about you, he was thinking about your house. When God saved you, he was not only thinking about you. He had members of your natural family in mind. You know, when God saved us, God did not save us for ourselves. God saved us because he had an agenda. And he expects that me and you, we will what? Rise up, you know, come up so that we can be saviors, even to those family members. So a lamp for every household. Jacob's household. When Jacob, when they entered Egypt, if you read Exodus chapter 1:1, he said, now, these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob. Hey, he said, that solo thought of salvation and your deliverance is not God's heart. When you think about salvation, because this is Old Testament, he said, when God was calling Abraham, he wanted Abraham to father the whole world. No longer will your name be Abraham, but he'll be father of what? Nations. He wanted many nations. He wanted Abraham to father nations. When God calls a man, God is not calling the man so that it's me, I, and I. God is calling a man for nations. When God is ready, go and look at it. We talk about Kenny Hagin. When God was calling Kenny Hagin, he has seen me. He has seen you. When God was raising him, he has seen the potential of a life of obedience of a man who is raised and a generation that can come. Many of us, we are agonized not because we bear his genetics. We bear his spiritual genetics. We are agonized because we have been able to be baptized to the life he was baptized in. Many of us, what we share with him is even beyond what his biological lineage may share because of use. So when God calls a man, he's not only seeing that man alone. When God calls a man, he's seeing generation. So when Jacob was going to instruct his household, after they came out of Laban, the Bible says Jacob instructed his household to put away what? Strange gods. After they've moved and they were coming back into Cana, he said, put away all these strange gods from you. Instruction for household keeping could come through Jacob. And even when Jacob passed, Joseph, Bible says Joseph nourished the family of the household of his father. Are you seeing nourishment? When he was going to nourish, Joseph did not select, okay, I will only nourish Benjamin. Or Benjamin is my own. Or I will nourish only my immediate brothers. Judah, you have Anan and Hur. He didn't say you had a child by Tamar. He catered for that family. He didn't say Reuben, you that you went to sleep with he catered for that family. When it came to nourishment, there was no selective or separated nourishment. When it comes to the household of Abraham, this one household that even heaven bore witness to. He said, Abraham was charged. He said, I know Abraham. All our fathers, may they know you. I'm telling you, he says, I know Abraham. The key responsibility of a household head is ability to keep the ways of God. He said, for I know him, that he will command what? His children and his what? Household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and what? Judgment. That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken. Maybe the reason why God is not bringing to you what he has said is because you are not commanding your household well. So the reason for a head in a home is not only for your children. They have a household. You have other souls living in your house, and what you can think is your children. No, he said he will command. Jesus, something about the Bible is that the Bible is always very intentional with words. He said he will command his children and his household. So the people that were living with him, people that he was accountable for. So also, that's why in a household training, we can't have different manual. It's one manual. It's one manual for the souls in a household. He said to do justice and judgment. That is the reason of being a head. My brothers, that is the reason for being a head. Ask yourself, can you command? Means that God must raise commanders in our men. Commanders. Men that can command. Their children. You know, some fathers cannot command. They can't command nothing. Because they themselves have not been commanded. You can't command if you have not been commanded. If you have never been told, come here, you have come here. You can't tell someone to come here. You know, a lot of men, you hear some men say, am I not the father of the house? Excuse, the day you start saying that, you have actually lost authority. That means you don't know authority. You don't. Can you imagine Abraham say, am I not the father of the house? See, Abraham, when Sarah was telling him, but you are sending these bond women away, he said, why are you telling me that? You know, said, I've enjoyed this woman's bosom. Father of the house. The Bible says you obeyed and God aligned with her. So the key responsibility of every head is to be able to command. Command your household. Command your household. Come here. These are men. What they know how to do is to charge. That's not commanding. To charge. You know, when you come, they will see you. Shango has come. When you come, everybody disappear. Nobody. Because what? Commander in chief of armed forces is here. That's not it though. That's not how to command a household. You command a household firstly by your life. Primarily by your life. Your life is a commandment. Your life is a standard of obedience. When people think about daddy, they think obedience. And I challenge our daddies. When your children think about you, what comes to their mind? What comes to your mind when you think about your dad? 318 men were trained in Abraham's house. We all need to subscribe to his training manual. What was Abraham's training manual? What was the rudiment of the training? I can't imagine 318 men, no, not the children. Definitely, That 318, multiply it by 2 or by 3. How was Abraham's household? When they wake up in the morning, how is chores? When they wake up, how is cleaning? How is water fetching? How is sweeping? He said he trained men. How was cattle rearing? We all need to go and subscribe. God needs to open it to us. No, we always gloss through it. That's, let's say, technically 1,000 souls is what we are talking about here. 1,000 people in your household. And some of us, we only have just 5. We are shouting. You want to die. This person, you need to leave my house. Why is it about you? Somebody had 1,000 in his household commanding them. What an army. What an army. Have you not wondered when scripture says that your children will liaise with the enemy at the gate? This scripture, Abraham was a blueprint to it. When war came, you know, there was no backing out. I have 300 I'm trained, discipled. That's the correct word. Discipled in my household. Will we deal with the enemy? Give us his gate. Excuse me, these are mostly trained as headsmen. You mean that a home can raise an army that can contend with 5 kings? Kings, oh. 5 kingdoms. Not even kingdom. With their army. 318. Discipled. Discipled them. A man that more called, ready to perish by following and obeying God. We do not see it anywhere that Abraham was trained in the act of war. We do not see. I mean, I was just like, when they say, I will go, I just like, Baba, yeah, why not? When did they give you army training? When did they give you army training? I'm just, this thing must provoke our household. See what we are talking? Our household, you must have another house. When you see your household, see an army. That is what you are raising. We are raising men trained against the world. Men trained that can capture harvest. Do you know now, after the war, they also brought people. You know, they had servants. They had servants. They were, even that king, the father for that king say, please, oh, we can take everything. Say, no, just leave me. I don't want. Don't tell me that. See, Abraham. Ah, Jesus. I don't want you to say that you are the one that blessed Abraham. I don't want you to say that. You see, because I understand the raising of how to raise a head. You see that when you say head, head is our single brothers. Being a head, go easy. You need God to help you. A head is not just husband. It's not only sweetheart. It's not only anything about a sister. A head is an army. Can what you are saying? You are a soldier. You are an army. You are this. You are that. All a father or a father. When they say father. And we also saw, even from the beginning of his journey, Abraham took souls with him. Because when they were calling him out of all of Chaldeans, the Bible cataloged in souls. They mentioned that souls followed him. Lot was one of them. Of course, in priestly households. One thing that is clear, if you look, I think 1 Chronicles 24, 1 to 31, we see the structure of priestly family. There were scribes there. So I'm just trying to say households, that even when they are talking about service, service was according to households, praise God. The royal households, we see that the early kings, they had royal what? Household. Let's see 2 Samuel 3:1. It said, and there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of what? David. But David worked stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul worked what? Weaker and weaker. Can we quote it and put your own household and use the flesh household? There was a long war between the house of Modupe and the house of this world, but Modupe's household worked stronger and stronger, and the household of this world works weaker and weaker. That's supposed to be our testimony. Our household is supposed to be waxing strong. If last year we were like this, little in strength, next year we have increased. That you meet us here. And that's why you see, one thing you will know about your marriage is that it's from glory to glory. It's from grace to grace. As I always say, them, the least you can be is what you are now. You see, this marriage is for multiple. It's true. He said, he blessed them. When he said, he blessed them and multiplied them. Marriage is for multiplication. The reason for household is for increase. So royalty had households. You know, they had royal households. You see also that Solomon had Pharaoh's house, the house of Pharaoh. You remember when also the Lord plagued them with the 10th plague? The whole house of Pharaoh. The whole house of Egypt. Praise God. David also has an household.
And we saw him bless his household, 2 Samuel. When he danced before, the Bible says, after dancing, he went to his house and blessed his household. Our fathers, do you bless your households? Do you bless your households? I think our fathers need to go and do lessons. Lessons of what it means to be a head. He said, David returned to and blessed his households. It was in that blessing that Micah collected her own inverted blessing. You know, some women, we need to be wise. You need to be wise to discern your husband. That thing that killed that lady was familiarity. She didn't die. But she's the only barren woman recorded in the Bible that never gave birth. Every other barren woman, go and check it. The Lord answered. Your husband, what is carrying, maybe it's coming from a spiritual ecstasy. That's when you want to rant. Some women, they don't have fear. Your husband, maybe it's just with kabosh. Say, hey, what the... Please always remember Micah. Remember her. That's how she collected her own. Poor David said, before the Lord of have I danced and sent her back to her father. And it was even not him that caused her, it was God. She didn't say, you know, you can say that he loved her. Because the lady tried for David though. One Saul wanted to kill him. She was the one that let him down through the window. So some of us are like to say, I did not help you, wife. She did not help you in your former years. You can help and your help will become a waste. You help and you want to sit down there. Micah saved David. You will think that from that help, she should be blessed. You see, there are dynamics in the household that we need to be careful. You see, if you live in a household, you can be blessed or you can be cursed. And nobody will pronounce curse on you. It's just that you must know that there's a spirit that governs our household. One that can bless, that can hate your work. And one that can take you away from the place of blessing. Men and their household. Abigail, you know, reference our household. So men also had that. There's a place in 1 Samuel 27:3. They say David and each of his men and their households dwelt in Gath. So men also have household. I'm just trying to say that men had household. Then the household of Obed-Edom, the entire household was blessed because they hosted the ark of God. May our household host the ark of God. He brought blessing when even a king was afraid. You know, sometimes when our fathers come and say, this is the instruction we are obeying. They are bringing the ark of God into our house. And what can happen is blessing. Praise God. The household of Ahithophel, we see him. He put his house in order. The Bible says he was so wise. When Ahithophel counsels you, it's as if God himself was your counselor. What a man. What a man. In fact, me, I even saw that, you know that thing? It's, you know, one of the things he replicated was actually pride. Because it's pride that made him go and hang himself. Just because he didn't take his counsel. When you read some, you just pause. I just like, they didn't kill you. The guy did not say, we kill you. You just went, and the Bible says he put his household in order. You can see that even a man knows how to put his household in order. I want to believe that that's a form of repentance that he came into. Then the household of Job, we see that in verse 3, Job 1. It said Job had a great household, a very great household. You know, he was a righteous man who continually interceded for his, you know, and made sacrifice for his children. They describe that his household was a very great household. May God raise our household to be great. Then the household of Rahab. Because of Rahab, her household was saved. Because of her, an ordinary harlot saved her father's household. She became a savior. Her household was saved because of her. And you know that lineage, that scarlet that was tied. God expects that every household has that scarlet. You remember that lamp, when it was slain, you know, it was put at the doorpost of every household. That when the angel of death passed, it passed by. God expects that every household has that lintel. You know, that lintel, you know, talked about, you know, the place of, you know, so much obviousness. Praise the name of Jesus. Then, of course, the Hebrew midwives, the Bible says because they obeyed God, he gave them a house. Because they feared God and they disobeyed what? Pharaoh. Bible says God established them a house. These women, they are interesting women to look at. Egyptian midwives. You know, Egyptian midwives. Then the Shunammite woman's household. Remember that Shunammite that Prophet Elisha, you know, prayed for and got a child? That the child died, that he raised? There was also a famine, I think 2 years after, that was so prolonged, by instruction that came, her household was delivered from that famine. By that, because she came at the Kairos time into the palace to meet Elisha, because Gehazi was counting to the king what Elisha did, and they were not believing. And she came in at that point, and that was the point. They said, oh, that is the woman. And that was where she got counsel for her salvation. Then the household of the virtuous, say virtuous woman. Proverbs 31:21. So every woman, you have a household. The Bible, you see what Proverbs 31 says? She says she provides food for her household. She ensures they are clothed for her household. She ensures they are prepared for winter. She watches carefully over the affairs of her household. God expects every woman to be able to supply this for her household. Praise the name of Jesus. Then the New Testament examples, we had the household of Cornelius. Say Cornelius. A Roman centurion, that him and all his household, they believed. If you read that Acts 10 verse 10, they believed. They believed. The Bible says he invited his kinsmen, invited his friends, so that they could hear. And they didn't only believe, they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Praise the name of Jesus. Household of Lydia. Lydia, the purple seller. You know Lydia? She was a rich businesswoman. You know? She was converted alongside her household, and they were also baptized. There was also Zacchaeus. Say Zacchaeus. Jesus told Zacchaeus, when he saw, he said, today I'm going to eat at your house. Then after the eating, he said, today salvation has come to you and your what? And your household. Praise God. Then the household of Crispus. Crispus was a synagogue leader that was also converted with his household when they arrested Paul. Him and his household, they were baptized. We also have Philip's household. Philip's household produced 4 unmarried virgins that prophesied in Gentile, Caesarea, in a Gentilic nation. When they say everybody, nobody is chaste, nobody is. 4 virgins that prophesied. That you see that narrative that the world said, and this one, everybody has done this, nobody, you are joking, no? Because God will always have people that have not bowed down to Balaam. There was also the household of Stephanas that Paul confirmed that he baptized them. You know, Paul confirmed that he baptized the whole household. There was the household of Onesiphorus. You know, Paul acknowledged them and mentioned them. I want to say this, my brothers and sisters, that you should not belong to a household. You see, you can say that New Testament, allocation of salvation is for everybody. So it means that you come in a household that people are moving and you are not moving. That's why when you say, we are leaving this house by 6:30 to church, you are the one that we delay them not to come to church. Kilo day. I'm just trying to say that there are ways to live in a household so that you can partake of the full salvation. You know, there's also the household of God, that believers are no longer strangers or foreigners. There's household of faith. I think Pastor has also said that the household of faith and the household of God, they are 2 different things. The first place we belong to is the household of faith. And that is what why it means as a believer, you are not supposed to be lonely. You're not supposed to be a stranger. People come to the house of God. You want to be sight. You want to be pampered. You want to be, they're not doing this. They're not doing, the household of faith. This house, there's no name. It's not tied to anybody's name. When you look at this house in the street, what you see is the household of faith. One thing discipleship teaches you, you see that thing that makes you feel that you need special attention, is a baby. One evidence of discipleship is growth, is ability to know that this is my father's what? House. So you know that thing that makes you say that I am angry, something happened to me, you are leaving church. I mean, that kind of thing cannot ever possess me. It's my father. You understand? You cannot say now stop following God. I stop following Kiniko because of what? Something happened to you in the household of faith. Excuse me, if today you say you don't want to bear your name again, your household already owns you. You know, some people, when their parents come to church, they don't need introduction. Some people, you see their siblings. So when you belong to the household of faith, so what do you want to give us? Our newly created spirits, give us back. Give us back our blood. Give us back our fellowship. Give us back. What do you want to give us back? When you belong, you belong. So there are some things that ought not to be said amongst us. Because in actual fact, God sets every soul in a family. Now, what are the reflective insights we should look at about household? He said, firstly, salvation extends to the entire household.
Hallelujah.
The lamp was for the whole what? Family. God's salvation is meant for every member of the what? Home. You should not be in a home and you are not saved. You are not changing. Zacchaeus, even when Jesus came to that, he said, imagine, Jesus, it was Zacchaeus Jesus encountered. But salvation has come to you and your household. Those people, when God is calling a man, he's calling his household. Those people, it's not right that, you know, your leaders in a household are partaking of an experience and you are not partaking of it. Husband and wife, it's not right that you as a husband, you are climbing up to Zion. Your wife is left behind. You are creating a problem of continuance for yourself. Household are also a place of instruction and training and teaching and obedience to the Lord. See, let me tell you, see all these things we are learning. Where we display it is our household. That is where we what? We display teaching. That is where you are taught. So, household are places of instruction. Next. Household are spaces for shared journey and purposeful pursuits. See Jacob. See Jacob. See Jacob's household. See how they followed him. Pursuits. Did you see that? See Abraham. You know when Abraham was journeying from the hall of Chaldeans, he went down to Egypt. He went down to, you know, the household. They were following him. Household is where we can pursue. Say pursue. And we must create, you know, our household to be able for people to be able to pursue God. Within household, we also receive instruction to put away idols. Say idols. And make necessary changes. Including consecration and renewal. Jacob did it. You see, when you hear put off, where you can put off is your household though. If you, you know, if you battle with that instruction of, you know, of things to put off, when they correct you, this thing that you are doing is not correct. You struggle with it. How will you obey when you are before the Heavenly Father? When we collect our children, if the one thing that I get very upset with my son from, I said, if you cannot obey me, how will you obey God? Me that you are saying. So if I must teach you, why are we not keep quiet? It's because you must, why I'm teaching you to obey your parents. It's not for me. It's because there's another you ought to obey. And I understand that my job is to prepare you to obey him. So in our homes, you know, I'm talking to children. I'm talking to adults. I'm talking to brothers and sisters. If you cannot be rebuked in your household, because that's a place where you can put off nature. You know, there's some things in translation, natures, habits, characters that a believer ought not to have. You don't understand. You know, in church, all of us, we are fine in our packaging. You know, we look so nice. But in our tongue, when you get home, the first thing you do, your shoe, you just roll somewhere. Brah! Nobody is saying that, though. Pastor is not saying that. Is the people at home that are saying that? I say, shoes should be arranged in a place. Shoe rack. You wake up in the morning, no making of bed. Bed sheets, OTG and CBE. Bed sheets, it has become dirty. You know, it is a household. They say that this thing is not correct. Devotion, personal devotion. If you come to church, how will you know you did personal devotion? The people that I will know is the people in your household. I was telling them in my household. They said, when I was in the hostel, there was one room I said, that room, sweet room. I'm telling you, devotion here, one by one, from 4 a.m. One sister has carried it. You know, they carry it. I said, your room better here, that shatter. Another one is, I said, that is me, I like that kind of room. We are carrying fire, everything hot. But your devotion, they accuse that you are not devotion. You say, I'm doing it. How will you know now? Devotion that you are doing that we don't know. It's in my heart. You know, in the home, we don't accept those kind of excuses. Do we accept it in the home? Me, you know, you don't accept it. You say you can come and tell somebody in church. But me, I'm seeing you. When you want to do devotion, I want to know that you're doing devotion. If you are saying show of her, are you saying that you show and show? Let Jesus know that you're one of your sister wants to confirm that I won't share devotion. So it is there we can be corrected. So blessing also flow through household. We saw how David pronounced blessing upon his households. Households also teach order and structure. We talked about Abraham. You see, the reason why some people are disorderly in church It's because they've not been taught properly at home. You know when, you know children that stomp out, they're talking and you're just stomping out. I was telling, I have one child like that. He'll be changing face. I said, when I'm talking to that child, I keep my distance. You know why I keep like this? I grew up with parents that were sensitive to changing of face. So it's in the home that you are taught that. You are taught structure. When people come here and disorderly and they are shouting, you know, you come here, usher say, sit down. I say, I'm not sitting here. The moment you are raising your voice, we are all looking at you. We just know that, oh, okay, there's no household in here. Because you should have received some slaps, some resets, some scolding. Yes, in the household. Can I tell you, if you belong to a household, whether they are brethren, if we notice, for instance, that during meeting, okay, you are just going outside to wee-wee. When we get home, we should ask you, Sama, what's happening? Or we see you outside talking. You went for 20 minutes to wee-wee. We have every right to accost you. That who were you talking to? Or we see you doing kurukere with a brother or a sister. That this thing is too much. In a household, you can be checked that what's happening here. You know, in discipleship meeting, what they'll be talking about, you'll be speaking spirit. But in this one, the things that make spirits, that's what we want to talk about. So that your spirits can be correct. Praise God. So structure, order is taught in household. It's a place of provision and nourishment. I've talked about that, you know, where there's food and sustenance in there. So our household is for feeding. Say feeding. Let me tell you. One thing, the Lord, when I was praying for this meeting, one thing the Lord said, he said, this thing is a burden in my heart. He said, it's a burden. He said, for because of the future. He said, God's people, household must be raised. Because in the coming days, where supply for sustenance is in household, though. It's in household, though. Well, some household will be a refuge system. Some household, I'm telling you, your household, you'd have done well with supply. That's maybe in your streets, like when they say there's another shutdown. You can have so much abundance and you can feed your streets. Have you not thought about your household like that? That they say shut down, go sonje, but there's a wisdom you have mastered. And that household, there will be salvation. Have you ever wondered how in Goshen had lights. Egypt had darkness. Have you talked about that technology? Goshen had life. God wants our household to be solid. So nourishment, I'm telling you, this thing is for you to have an agenda. For you to have a burden for your household. That my household is not yet this, but it will be. You know, as your household, you can as a household, you know, people say, church does not do CSR. As a household, you can do your own social security in your streets. As an household, you can do your own evangelism. As an household, you can say you want to do Christmas giveaway. Yes! You can be led to say that, well, these children, like last year, some children don't understand that. It's not easy to pluck money. I said, we have to go somewhere this December. So you can see some other children. Children that don't have parents. So you can have, you know, it's in household you can do that. The church will not commit to such project. And you understand, because there are bigger welfare needs that the church picks. Well, you see, and the church can't pick everything. Households must be raised. Okay. Households also environment of care and responsibility, like Joseph cared for Jacob's household, you know, and Job continually interceded for his household. You can see that in your household, that's where they can pray for you. They can intercede for you. He said, I want to be alone. You will die. You will die like chicken. I'm telling you, you know, you should be in a household that somebody is going out and somebody can pick that something is going to happen. You are supposed to give in ourselves what? When you have prayed for me. It's also with, Jimmy, you say you are praying for everyone. Say, when no one you come to church, say, I'm praying for you, Pastor. One proof of your prayer is that God has spoken to you about me. It's also, we should ask somebody, nobody should leave our household. I was listening to Rick Joyner. I saw it shortly. He said, we should be able to pick things. He was talking about the prophetic. He said, we're in the days where the prophetic should become normalcy. We should be able to pick things. Nobody in our household should walk into danger. And none of you, all of you, just sleep. Oh, Lala is here. You cannot pick it. That is danger. You cannot have a palpitation in your heart and check that. Are you okay? Are you okay? I just thought to call. Yeah, you can't call someone in your house. I don't know. My heart is coming towards you. I'm feel drawn. Are you okay? Is everything okay? Can I just pray with you? That is what household is for. You don't know. You don't know that we are supposed to watch over one another.
You know. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Baladosa kamanas devea. Omeledino sofa keshtevene zinzala kasto. Parawa, parawa. Simenendolosia freka suse. Progenuloa castia. Freya, freya. Take the burden. Take this burden. Yea, take this burden even upon you. Take this burden upon you. Take this burden. Assume this burden. Assume this burden upon yourself. Take this burden upon yourself. Yea, you see, every household should be a cover, even a cover. A cover upon every member of each household. For you see, I give you responsibility over one another. I give you responsibility over one another, over your sister, even over your brother. Yeah, even over your parents in each household. Yeah, even over the elder, over the younger, over the brother, over the sister, over the children. Yeah, even over the elder. Yeah, you should bear the burden of the elder. You should bear even the burden of the younger. You should look after one another. It is your responsibility. I give you that responsibility. Take it upon yourself. Take that burden upon yourself. Yeah, yield yourself. Yield your heart. Yield your members. Yield your person. Yeah, yield your mind and your heart. Yeah, even to look into, look upon, even upon the things one of another, even in your household. For you see, I said it so. I even said it so. I even said it so. And I will require it even of you. I will require it of you. I will require it of you. For it is my burden that you should bear. You should bear. You should even bear that burden. You should bear that burden. I put your brother in your hands. I put your sister even in your hands. I put your parents in your hands. I put your brethren even in your hands. Take care of them. See to them even on my behalf. And see blessing. And see blessing that will come. Yea, that will even accrue to this company, saith the Spirit.
Amen. Can we just lift up our hands and say, Lord, we receive these words in the name of Jesus. Finally, just two more points. Deliverance came to the entire household of Rahab. You know, Rahab, deliverance. When you're part of an household, just like that tongue said, there's deliverance. Then finally, household teach submission to collective spiritual process. Please note this. When the Lord gave the instruction of circumcision to Abraham, Abraham and all of his household was what? They were circumcised. You can't be in a household and when there are collective spiritual instruction, you remove yourself. Perhaps in that 318 men, maybe one or two say they don't want to be circumcised. You would have been the victim of war. We did not read anywhere that was recorded that he lost one. We did not read anywhere. Spiritual instruction, when you are in a household, they can't say we are fasting or we are doing this or we are doing that or we are contributing this. Even, you know, when there are projects, as a household, we can decide that this is what we want to do. But when there is a spiritual instruction or what, please align. Please align because it's for safety. You know, and because it shows how we are aligned. Some people, when you're in a household, you think some instruction does, as they are speaking it, is as if it's bouncing in your ear. Everybody, I want everybody back in this house by so time. You have a way of giving an excuse why you cannot meet that time. It is what the world is teaching us. May God help us. And also, an household was commended. Onesiphorus' household. Paul was commending them. He said, greet the household of Onesiphorus. I don't know what their household did for Paul. Maybe he stayed there. Maybe they were hospitable to him. But a household was commended. Our households can be commended too. May God come to us and give us the vision. He said it's his body. May we carry this body because this thing is necessary for the next harvest. If we are thinking that harvest is that when one church somewhere, we send people, you are joking. Then you are so narrow-minded in your thinking. Because harvest. God is beginning to open up towards the curriculum of harvest. Harvest in all of this system. There's also harvest of what social media we do. What technology we do. Until this message is preached,
the gospel of the kingdom, then the end shall come. May God come to us in the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much, Pastor Dukwe. Thank you so much. New Testament churches is not an organization. New Testament church is an organism. It's an organism. It's not an organization. We don't go to church. You know, it's because we are bastardized. That bastard and say, I'm going to church. We don't go to church. We are part of a church. Service don't close. We can stop our service. But church continue in the house. When you see New Testament churches, churches are counted as household. I want to say this. It's good for husband and wife to live alone. But by the time you want to really obey God, I'm saying in your work with God, when you want to obey God, when you want to obey God, if you really want to obey God, you are going to bring people into your life. No pastor will force you, but in your obedience to God, in your obedience to God, you have to bring people, because that will be the secret for your change. You won't change without people, people, because everybody can come to church and we are all looking fine. It is there you're going to learn patience. Judas Iscariot was stealing the money of Jesus. He gave him post. He never for once said it. Neither for once send the guy, you are a thief, send him out of your house. Because that's how we become our, like our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not everybody can come to church. Where church is home, we assemble, but church does not close. Church operates 365 days in a year. Church service does not close. You talk about the law. You say, when you see that in your house, you will recite the law. When you are eating, when you're on the streets, fellowship continue. So we must know that it's very, very easy for this message to perpetuate Lagos in 2 years. Gone are those days where you invite people for program that they don't know you. People must have internet. Everybody, even social media tells you now that personal accounts, people want to relate with a brand. Not with a company, but with a person. Even he's already showing you what Satan is doing. Satan knows that. That church is an organism. It's a lively entity. And our house is where everyone wants to save us from our house. Salvation of the soul will be practiced in the house. Because we can come with church and we are all looking nice. Where heaven will pay attention is how we live our life daily in the house. I know some of us, we don't want to be a member of our household. And no pastor will force you to be one. But you should strive. That's why God gave us something. We must see 3-4 brethren must come together to rent house and stay together. And the person that will head that house may not be the youngest man that contributed the highest. It is the header. The header has nothing to do with age. It has totally to do with spiritual endurance. He that can endure most. The person that does not complain most. The person that is more patient. That's the header in that house. If I, the man, 35 years old woman living there. But the person that does not complain, that we endure, that we take care of everybody, that we cook food when everybody is sleeping, and we never complain, I'm never be bitter, is that 20 years. That's the year is the header in the house. It's not my age. It's the person that can endure most. It's the person that is patient most. It's also the one that can forego more. That's the header. Header is not my age. It's that guy of 23 years old. It's that girl that, that we take care of everybody and we never complain. We never rise. And we do it with joy. You come and say, I hope you are eating. I hope you are okay. I'll prepare your food in the cooler. I'm going out. So if you need anything. Oh, that's what I, and it may not be any much. And it's younger. But because by conversation is what shows. This is the key to the next harvest. I'm telling you the truth. I lie not in the Holy Ghost. It's not going to be by carrying megaphone and going to the streets. It's building strong household and families. The strength of a local church is its family strength. It's how strong is our household. That's the strength of a church. If a church is going to be weak, go and attack them at their family level. The greatest key to keep is to keep a church pure, is to make sure marriages are strong in the church. You see, there's nobody that cannot marry seven wives. Every man has tendency for it. It's a pastor must be very strong to make sure that that does not happen under my watch. A pastor must be far. That's why New Testament pastors are not chicken pastors. You have to be disciple where to be able to hold family together, because it's not easy to hold the family together. When you want to have your way, you feel that I can do anything I want to do. No, why do you see how the couple go away? The wife is not talking. The wife says, "I'm not going to talk to." And everybody just doing his own. Just give it 3 years. A crack became crack. But somebody must be humble enough and spiritual enough to say, if she won't talk to me, I'll go and talk to her. That is a strength. It's a death. Seed time is a dying time. Every seed must die. Seed time is a dying time. It's a time, because a seed or girl caught fall to the ground and die, it abide alone. You can't talk about this if you're not ready to die. When you talk about seed time, you're talking about resurrection power. You are trying to enact resurrection forces. Let's be ready for a great shift in our life, in our homes. I'm sensing that this will be a major shift for us. Heaven will enlighten us. Don't feel bad. You don't know. Even me, I'm also learning. So we are all learning. Holy Ghost is just showing all these things. And as I tell you, between now to next Sunday, more line will be added to these lessons, I can tell you. Because as we are praying for us, we are waiting upon the Lord. We keep, God give fresh breath. We keep penning in and keep upgrading the lesson until everything that God has in mind, we fully get it. In the name of Jesus.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.